North Rock Podcast.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor Andrew. How are we doing this morning, North Rock? We're good? Yeah, happy to be in the house? I'm happy you're in the house. Good to have you this morning. How many of you guys are getting excited about the vision that we're projecting for this next year? How many of you guys have one of these? Let me just see a show of hands. Got quite a few of you. Again, you can pick those up in the sound booth. You can pick them up at the connection table. But again, we really believe that God not only has a vision for reaching people in this area, but he has provision for it as well. Amen? Just like Pastor Andrew talked about, that it's not just a vision. It's not just a grand idea. It's not just a good concept or an idea, this God thing. This is God's very own life that he's provided for people to come into relationship with him. I mean, that is what we get to do here every day at North Rock, and that's what's exciting to me. The Heart for the House initiative is really about that idea of that God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that those who would follow him would do the good works that he did in an ever-increasing way. I love the genius of God that instead of all of us getting in line by the masses of hundreds of thousands and millions of people and like trying to see Jesus up at the front of the pack, he instead chose to put his spirit in all followers of him. And that through that, people would develop a heart for the house. Today, my message title is simply this, about that we're talking about discovering, developing, and deploying his love for a world that he deeply, deeply cares about. That's what we're talking about today. I'm looking forward to that. I love the transformational nature of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In that the song that we just sang, one of the songs that we just sang was going deeper still, right? Deeper still, deeper still. Do you guys ever have that experience when you come to church? It's like that whole idea of, okay, Lord, I dealt with what you asked me to deal with. I'm in a good space. I really feel like I'm in a flow here. And then he challenges us with something else. Come on, am I preaching to anybody today, right? I know I am to me. If I'm pointing to you, I got 9, 10 back at me, right? That is how it works, is that his desire is that his fullness of his life, the abundant life that he's promised us all, that we can experience that in a day-to-day capacity. But the only way that happens is by us participating, partnering, and using our faith to latch on to his promises over our lives. How many of you guys today came to church with a promise over your life? You're aware of something that God has said for you, for your family, that you're holding on to. That's important. Hold on to that. Why do we need to hold on to that? Because the Bible teaches us in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, that where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. The people perish, right? So, in other words, it's saying that when we don't have a vision for ourselves, for our lives, for our family, for our marriages, for our kids, for our church, the things just tend to kind of dry up. Okay, I'm not going to ask if anybody knows what I'm talking about with that, but I know we've all experienced that. And maybe in some level or some stage of that atrophy that just naturally sets in, we're not bringing something before the Lord and asking him to renew it. How many of you guys today would like to be renewed by the Lord this morning? I know I would. So let's pray into that, and I'm going to jump into my message. Father God, we thank you in Jesus' name that as we come here, we don't come here of our own strength. We came here because you chose us, because you gave us your very life, because your Holy Spirit compels us to meet with you today. And so, Lord, I pray for all that have gathered, Lord, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit once again. Pray in Jesus' name that you would give us fresh vision, you would give us fresh life of your Spirit. And as we leave this place, we commit ourselves to be a transformed people, a people who are living out your life in the midst of our culture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm really glad to hear that some of you are grabbing on to the vision that God has for North Rock Church. You're developing that heart for the house that we are excited about what's happening here. But I believe that we are that extension of the vision that Jesus had for his church. Believe that that's what God's called us to do, and that's what this whole series has been about. We've been talking about the great commandment, right? And the second great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? And we talked about how that really is the life that Jesus wants us to have. And then in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, we talked about that first century church being sent out. It's Jesus' commission, great commission, over his new followers. And he says, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth, right? You guys remember this? Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nation, teaching them to obey all the commands I've given you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age. I don't know about you, but that gives me courage this morning, knowing that he has gone before us, that he is with us, and it's a good, good Father that leads us into whatever he's calling us to do. So the church has a way of talking a lot about what we're supposed to do, right? But we don't tend to spend as much time on the how. And I really appreciated Pastor Andrew's message from last weekend where we looked at that first century church in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, when the Holy Spirit was poured out into the life of the church and they began to live out that vision that Jesus had for his church. And it says that they devoted themselves to one another, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, that there's a deep sense of awe that came over all of them, that all the believers shared with one another the things that they had in common, that they sold properties. In other words, they were generous in the way that they met the needs that surfaced through that community of faith, and that they shared the Lord's Supper with great joy and generosity. How many of you guys like me believe that's a telltale mark of God's work in somebody's life? Joy and generosity, joy and generosity. Why? Because we're created to worship him, and as we worship him, we begin to love him more and to love others around us more. Because that's who he is. That's who we are. Right? And as we do that, it causes us to want to move out and to expand the level of service and care that we can offer people. Right? And as we do that, the promise of Acts chapter 2 is that each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So today it's my privilege to share with you what I consider the how of how God gets us going in that direction here at North Rock Church. But before I jump into that, I can tell I'm going way deep, way too early. Yeah, it's like the drinking through the fire hydrant kind of face is at me, right? It's like, wow, somebody had their coffee this morning, right? Thank you, Abby. I'm glad to have my coffee this morning, right? Let's think about it this way. Here at North Rock, we love our Broncos. Just saying, we don't make any qualms about it. We know that there are other teams in the league. We pray for them. And we always want to be people that extend courtesy and generosity towards those that are not Broncos fans, though we did not treat our Packer friends very well last week. Just saying. Okay? But I want you to think about the way that God moves us and grows us in the heart for his house, the way he gives us his heart and it begins to be reflected in our lives with the experience of maybe if I were to offer you tickets to the Broncos game. Now, just to be clear, I'm not offering you that. Especially Richard, who quivers when I say Broncos game, right? But if you've ever experienced a game, I have. A couple of years ago, I got to go to the Broncos game, and I sat right up there where that number one is, right? You know the horse is made as you're driving down the highway and you see that very top piece of the orange? That was my seat. And can I tell you, there's not a bad seat in the house when the Broncos are playing. There's not a bad seat in the house because you're just a part of it. You're experiencing it. You're encouraged by it. Even though that in that seat, I'd hear like the crowd erupt from there. There's like a tidal wave of excitement, enthusiasm that would come up to me. And I'd be like, what happened? That little guy moved and that little guy, and I'm not sure what happened. So you'd always turn around and look at the big screen, right? So it'd be oh, something happened. And that's kind of the experience you have in that first seat. But how many of you like me would just be excited to be in the house? Be excited to be in the Vesco Field to be there for the big game, right? And then last week we had some Packers fans in town because the Packers were here playing. And I just got to say that I've got a sister-in-law who loves the Packers. And so for weeks we talked to people and said, does anybody have a ticket for this game? We'd love to get her to the game. And we talked about it. And do you know that the prices for that game weren't just the hundreds? They were the thousands. It's like thousands of dollars people are paying. And the way that it works, the economy of football seating stadiums is up there, it's hundreds. Down there, it's thousands. And so we all know that there's a placement of a value upon where we sit in proximity to something that's going on, right? But we all know that if someone gave us a seat, we'd want to be at the 50-yard line, front and center, right? So if you're thinking about tickets for your pastor, I'll take either of them, all right? I'm not choosy. I'll take any of them. I'll be the parking attendant out there just so I can be a part of what's going on. Hey, can I tell you, those are two contrasts of seats, and we know that this one probably has a better view. For those of you that maybe aren't football fans and you're going, oh, come on, Pastor, let's talk about something other than football. A few months back, I had the opportunity to take Jody to see Garth Brooks when he was in town. Yeah, so I got one Garth Brooks fan. Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. So I had a chance to take her there, and it was a 20-year promise that I'd made to her. In fact, when I proposed to her, the night that I proposed, she thought I was giving her tickets to Garth Brooks' concert. What a disappointment for her, right? You know, it's like, hey, what is this about? What happened to Garth Brooks? So, baby, I made good on it. It took me 20 years, but we got you there. And I can tell you that there's a difference in how you experience that concert by the place of proximity that we sit. So I paid out the big bucks, and we sat where it was kind of eye level with Garth Brooks. And when he'd move over to this side of the stage, and he'd kind of look in, it was like he's looking just at me. I was like, I went there honestly, and I may have to turn in my man card for this thing, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I went there thinking this is going to be so much fun just watching Jody sing the songs and have such a good time. I was like a starstruck teenage kid. Like, he came over and he made eye contact with me. And he's like singing, and I'm singing back to him. And it's this whole experience. I'm like, this is weird. And she's looking at me going, what are you doing? What are you doing, right? Can I just tell you the proximity that I had to Garth Brooks? It was infectious. Like, I was all caught up, and it was all exciting. I was singing. I got friends in little places. And I mean, it was so good. Can I tell you the proximity from which where we sit reflects maybe some of the enthusiasm that we have about the things in our lives. Can we agree to that? So the 50-yard line is a good place to be. Eye level with Garth Brooks is a good place to be. But I can also tell you, because I'm a high school football coach, that there are better seats than the ones up in the stands. And when you're on that sideline, you have a chance to affect the outcome of a game. You have a chance to make an adjustment that helps somebody be successful out there. That's an even better place to watch the game from. And in fact, this last Friday, we played Grand Junction, and your North Glen Norsemen, won in double overtime. And because the people on the sidelines were there, they all ran on the field. They had this big dog pile. It was amazing. It's a totally different experience than going like this. Totally different experience, right? But how many of you guys, like me, know that God's desire for your life isn't just that you would sit and that you would watch what he does in this world? That even if we're here today and we're saying, I'm kind of like those people up in the horse's head right now. I'm just checking this whole thing out. Can I just say, we're glad that you're here. I'm happy that that's the place that you're in. But I can assure you that's not where God wants to leave you. That God's design for our very lives is that we would be the provision for his vision in this world. That we all play a part. That we all get to do something to see his life lived out and his name made great in this world. Amen? So today I get the chance to talk to you about what it means to be in the game for Jesus. About the way that we, in particular, do it here at North Rock to help people move from an experience where maybe they're a seeker. And we call this the Chair One experience. So if I can get some help up here, I'm going to ask my lovely assistant, Abby, to come up here and bring a chair. Abby, thank you very much. Abby is going to reflect for us kind of a journey that I call, that we refer to around here at the church called ACTS, Attract, Connect, Train, and Send. In other words, that's kind of that's the progression of how God moves in our lives and uses our lives to influence and inspire others to Christ. Man, that was good. That was good. And then she already took her seat. Today, Abby is sitting in seat number one. Seat number one is the place where it's like the entry point into the water. It's the place where we find people that maybe are just kind of coming by the church, they're driving by, and the Holy Spirit has been pursuing them, but they've been hearing people talk about God, they've been hearing about how much Jesus loves them, they've had people that are praying for them, or they've had people inviting them to church, and they're not sure about this whole church thing, right? You know, Abby in the first service talked about how scary church can be. So she said, you know, I said, that's it, that's our goal here, scary Sundays at North Rock, right? But you know what? She's right. There is a scary element to coming into a crowd of people that you don't know and having them worship in ways that we're not accustomed to, right? And so chair number one is a very important seat because it's where we all begin the journey. And this is where we find seekers. This is where we find seekers, and this is where we find those that are still yet to become believers that we can call, really two types of people, two brands, if you will, a seeker and a prodigal, right? A seeker is someone that just doesn't know the message yet. They haven't had an opportunity to respond to the gospel message in their life, but they know that they're looking for something more in life, right? That's that first seed is where the seeker comes in to a community of faith and is impacted for Jesus, right? They're attracted to the work that he's doing. The other one's a prodigal, right? A prodigal is someone who's had an experience with the Lord before, but maybe something in life pulled them off course. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Okay, because I know you brought some of them with you today. I know it's not you, but there just might be some in the room, right, where we got away from what God had asked us to do. We got away from the calling that he's placed on our life. We got just sucked up into the busyness and got pulled to the side of the road in the journey that God had us for, right? Seat one, the reason we do our services, the way that we do our services is because we want to be naturally supernatural to people. We want people to come in and we want to be able to love and preach and talk to them in a way that fits their context. Does that make sense? We don't want to be uber spooky, scary church, right? Everybody ever visit that one? I'm not going to name the pastor. He's my good friend, but believe that we're created to be naturally supernatural, meaning that the Holy Spirit abides in everyone who calls him Lord Jesus, and that he does his transformational work to move our lives from that seeker position to a point of belief. And we come to that point of belief, he releases his very life inside of us. And at that very moment where we say, yes, Jesus, it's not my life, it's your life, he releases the full inheritance of his Holy Spirit's promise over our lives. The Bible says the very same power that rose Jesus from the grave is active and alive in that person when they make that decision. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That we don't have to bring anything to the table except repentance and a desire to see God release the new life that he has for us, right? Here at North Ark, we call that the attract piece. It's why I coach high school football. It's why we do things like the ornaments on our Christmas tree, giving tree that's coming up so that we can be the hands and the feet of Jesus that make sure that every kid we have a relationship with that we know needs a present on Christmas that wouldn't get it otherwise gets one, right? It's why we host the North Glen football banquet that's coming up very soon. So if that's your thing, I want to talk to you after the service because I'm not very good at hosting banquets, okay? But we're doing it because there's all these relationships, there's all these lives that we've impacted over there, and they're saying, we would love to come to your church and do our awards ceremony. Would you guys be open to that? You know, as a pastor of a church that's close to a local high school, how exciting that is? You know how exciting that is for me? It's like, no-brainer, yeah. What is it? What does it look like, right? The reason we do that is because we know that Jesus in us attracts others to himself. That's the way he set it up, right? It's not just this high and by and by, pie in the sky message that we go, hey, Jesus loves you, go read your book about it. No. No, he's selected us. He's given us the honor, the privilege, the rights, the responsibilities of being his hands, his feet, his heart, for a world that desperately needs him. So that we can win people like Abby to Jesus. And then when she gets in seat one, makes that decision to follow Christ with her life, she transitions from seat one to seat two. So we're going to graduate her from seat one to seat two. Good job, Abby, right? And here's the deal about this whole thing. It's really simple and straightforward, right? That Jesus does it through us, that it's our act of faith that releases his Holy Spirit's work in our lives, and that we are being developed and discipled from that point until the day that he comes back, right? But it takes an act of our will, it takes an act of our initiative to partner with the life that he has for us. Here at North Rock, we're committed to reaching people in the first chair because we know that God gave his very life for all the people that we have in our relationships. That's why we dedicate the resources that we do. That's why we give away a portion of our tithes. That's why we plant churches. That's why we're active in 7 different places with 10 different missionaries around the world, because we believe that we're an attractive agent of Jesus Christ for the people in this world. But don't take my word for it. I'm just a pastor, right? Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The NIV says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." The reason that we do what we do here on Sundays is to lead people into a connection and relationship of a growing believer's relationship, right? Because we believe that if it's important to God, which we just read, that it's his desire that all would turn, that all would come to repentance. It says, another version says that God is not willing that any should perish. Isn't that a good picture of his heart for people? Now they've gone from being a seeker or that prodigal spot into a born-again believing experience, or they've given their life to Christ, they've become a Christian, and now they're in a family of faith, which is where what we call moving from seat one to seat two, the attract to the connect piece, right? Where they're connected to a local congregation. They get connected in that congregation through classes, through groups, and through teams of service who incarnate themselves to one another, doing the very things that we saw in Acts chapter 2. They move from chair 1 into chair 2, and it's in that seat of transition that we begin to realize that we have been chosen by God. Abby, you've been chosen by God. Been chosen by God. She understood that in seat 1. She moved into seat 2. She went through our ECHO program, learning more and more and more and more about the love and the life and the promises that God had for her life, and now she comes back the other end of that, realizing that she's got a call in a ministry that God's given her burden for. And we get to be the people that help affirm that gift and help her move forward in the dream that she has to serve Jesus. Isn't that cool? That we all get to participate in what God's doing in her life. So that next step after attracting people to Christ is that we get them connected. They get connected to the church. Because in chair 2, they're a growing believer. And the growing believer is represented by somebody who's connected, somebody who's planted, somebody who's experiencing spiritual fruit and being spiritual fruit to others in their life. Not just fruity, but spiritual fruit, right? Big, big difference. It's the idea of the greenhouse, right? We just know things grow better in a greenhouse environment, especially in cold months like we're getting ready to go through here in Colorado. And I think that part of the reason is that, again, I'm no expert in that field, but because a greenhouse gives an optimal growth opportunity for people. It's a covering. It's the right temperature. It helps protect them from some of the elements that they're going to experience in this world. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Any of you guys know, like me, that when we make that decision to follow Christ and we start to grow in that relationship, that all hell breaks loose in our life? That we have an adversary of our souls that doesn't like the idea of you being attractive for Jesus to people. And so he does everything to demoralize us. He does everything to discourage us. He does everything within his power to just try to depress us to the point that we stop trying to make a difference in this world. Am I just preaching to myself today, or are you guys experiencing this? Okay, good, good. I'm glad. I'm glad because, you know, if I'm just going to preach to myself, I could end it right here. Psalm 92, verse 13 gives us this promise. This is why we do what we do. Seat 1, seat 2. Attract, connect. It's because Psalm 92, 13 gives us this promise that they that are planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of God. They that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Now, I don't really know, you know, all the meaning behind the word flourish, but flourish means good, right? You think of a flower that's flourishing. You think of a crop that's flourishing. You think of a person's life that's flourishing. And that's the promise that God has for his people. This is the person, that growing believer chair 2 experience that you meet because they got the bumper stickers on their car and they got the little ichthus and they got my boss is a Jewish carpenter on their car when they're being so nice in traffic as they merge their way into a four. No, that's none of us, right? No. Those people, they don't know everything about the Bible yet, but they are excited about what God's doing in their life. We have any of those people here today? Yeah. Excited people? Hey, you don't have to have the bumper sticker, right? In fact, if you're the one that cut me off on the way to church today, you should take that bumper sticker off your car. Kidding, didn't happen. Totally fictitious scenario. Not that it's never happened, it just didn't happen today. Right, but you know these people. They sign up for everything. They're excited to get into Connect groups. They're in every Bible study. In fact, in our Connect group that Jody and I are sponsoring at our house right now, we've got a few of those. And can I just tell you, they make me tired. Because they come to the group so excited, so stoked about the way that God's moving in their life that they're in not just one, but two Connect groups. They listen to 4 preachers every week. They're listening to 4 different stations on the Christian radio, and they just got the Word of God moving in their life in such a way that you're just going, whoo! I'm thankful for those people in my life. You know why? Because like all other people, I can get distracted. Like all other people, I can get overwhelmed. Like all other people, I can get tired. And when I see the work of God in someone's life, it just fires me up again. It restarts the motor. It reminds me that, oh, yes, I'm here for more than the day-to-day grind. I'm here for a purpose greater than any one thing I could do on my own, because he's called me to be connected in, within a body of Christ, right? Chair 2 is where Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 tells us that we keep growing. Colossians 2, 6 says, and now, just as you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. That's a good promise, right? So even though the enemy or adversary comes along, he accuses, he discourages, he tries to help us build a case for some circumstances that God is not for us, but rather he's against us, we know it's not true. And we begin to experience this flourishing of what God's life in our life does, right? How many of you guys have ever seen a coconut tree? That's cool. That means you guys travel a little bit, because I was just going to say I saw one up on 112th and Irma. No, it's not a coconut tree. It's not a coconut tree. But a coconut tree, I've always been kind of mesmerized by. And I think it's a good metaphor for the life of those that are planted in the house of the Lord, because they grow those great big coconuts, right? Have you ever felt a coconut? They're heavy, they're hard. And when they come into their harvest time, they put a lot of weight on that, on the trunk of that tree. And so the trunk of the tree can be bending all the way down almost to the ground before they get harvested or before they fall off. And the reason that they're able to take on that much weight, that much testing, that much torque on the trunk without it breaking, without it snapping, is because the roots of that tree connect to the other roots that are in that orchard. Does that make sense? That's the kind of strength that we experience when we make a choice to get connected in the body of Christ. Now, the truth of the matter is you can do this life however you want to do. It's a free country, and it's a free faith. And we can do this however we choose to. But when we choose to get connected, to not just have our needs met, but to meet other needs within the calling and the community of faith that he calls us to and he places us in, we become like those trees. We may bend, but we're not going to break. And when that tough season comes, when the hard things of life, when the adversary is knocking on our door, we've got people in our lives that pray with us, that support us, and that we can do life together to make it through those seasons, because we all experience them. I know there are some of us in the room that are experiencing very severe seasons like that right now. I've experienced those seasons, and I thank God that he called me into a local congregation so that I didn't walk through that season alone. To me, chair 2 is where you get connected. But chair 3 is where we're connected and challenged towards growth. This is like the ECHO program. And she's such a good student, she's already moving without me asking her to move. Abby, you are so bright, it's just scary sometimes.
Edumacated.
Yeah, that's right. You are edumacated, right? Edumacated. And we are students of the word. When moving from chair 2 to chair 3 is about learning to be trained, right? It's part of the local church's mission, is that we would attract, we would connect, and that we would train people for life and for ministry. Connecting and challenging people towards growth, it's what the Bible calls iron sharpening iron. It's what the Bible refers to as stirring up good works. It's what the local church of this particular region calls discipleship, right? It's knowing that if I get the Word of God in my mind, that it has a way to transform my heart, and that becomes a way of life for me, that it really does work its way out of my life. And I don't know, is Tom Edwards in here today, or did he leave after the first service? Tom's not here. How many of you guys know Tom Edwards? Tom is one of our pastors here. Tom has put hours upon hours upon hours of work into developing this ACTS Christian journey that we're talking about, so that it's small group formatted with little video intros, with small group leader helps. And he's made all those things available to us for those that are ready today to make that decision to move from seat 1 to seat 2 and want to get connected more and learn more in seat 3. So I just want to say there are 4 different groups. In fact, they're doing a preparatory meeting upstairs right now. For next week, they're going to be offering one of those ACTS groups upstairs in the second level of our facility here. But there are 3 other groups that they're sponsoring and getting started right now. So there's place for you if God is prompting you to be a part of that, okay? So if you'd like to know more about that, you can go to the Connect table. The Connect table is the place where we put all the donuts, right? Ingenious, right? Put the donuts where the Connect table is so they connect while they're eating donuts. It's good. It's good. Somebody really smart figured that out. I don't know who it was. It wasn't me, but it was somebody, right? That's where the Connect table is. Or you can email him at our website at northrockchurch.com, okay? Part of the life and the ministry and the joy of the expression of this church is we want to be people who more and more and more effectively help people's lives get connected and help people get trained for the life and ministry that God has for them, right? So Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10 talks about the marks of maturity. For us, we believe the markings of maturity in somebody's life isn't just that they learn a lot, but that they become doers of the word and not hearers only. That's the way the Apostle James said it, right? They become doers, not hearers only. Maturing believers are servant leaders. They do the good works. They realize that if I sit in chair 3 for too long, there are a couple of dangers that I'm going to talk to you about for just a few minutes, right in just a second. But Abby instinctively understands that if I get to chair 3 and I'm a mature believer and I don't remind myself that I'm on mission for the God that came on mission for me, that we can get a little lethargic in this chair. Anybody know that? That there's only so many times we can come and be inspired by the worship and the preaching until it finally kind of goes, all right, he's a little less interesting than he was last weekend, right? But in chair 3, the mark of a mature believer is they get up out of the chair. And they go back to serve chair 1 and chair 2. But they actually go and find some coffee. They invite somebody else up with them. And they help them move from the nosebleed seats into chair number 1. Welcome Jonathan today. Yeah. Now Jonathan, this is the first time we've actually set you here. She was supposed to stay with you and then you guys would both exit. But you're welcome to sit there as long as you would like to be there. I think we made the illustration, right? Galatians 6, verse 7 through 10 tells us this. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You'll always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing good. But at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Can you give it up for my two lovely assistants today? Yeah. Thank you, guys. So can I just tell you that we have a lot of churches and a lot of places that do the A part incredibly well. Incredibly well. It's the celebration service. Like, oh, that was awesome. It's like being at Garth Brooks. It was that kind of level of amazing of the way that they do their attract services. But can I tell you that the whole life of the church isn't functioning in its fullness unless we're moving from attract into connect, into train, so that we can send people on mission for Christ. Can I just tell you that the healthiest churches are not maybe the biggest attended churches. They're the churches that are sending people back out on mission and challenging them to live an ACTS journey with Jesus, right? They're the ones that would say there's spiritual fruit being developed, and because it is, we want to steward it well. The living God lives in every single person who has accepted him through his son, Jesus Christ. So the vision that God has is that he would send us back out to do more and more and more than what he's done in our lives. Amen? So the next step is to send people. Send them into the fulfillment of their God-given potential into God-designed services. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece." We are God's masterpiece. He was created in us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he planned for us a long time ago. Turn to somebody today and say, God's got good plans for your life. He's been planning this for a long time. Now turn to somebody on the other side and say, be patient with me because he's still developing me. Now turn to somebody on the other side and tell him he must be developing you still too. No, don't do that one. Don't do that one. That's the fun one, but we're not going to do that one, right? See, where we get stagnant, where we get in trouble in church, in the journey with the church, and in our own discipleship and development of the life that he's entrusted to us, is when we get comfortable in this chair right here. It's like, I've been to the classes, right? Pastor, I've been listening to you for 2 years. It's not true because I've only been here a year. Might feel like 2 years, but it's been 1 year, right? It's when we get used to being sitting in this chair, we forget about the reason that God saved us in chair one. We forget about where we were before somebody led us to chair one. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, it's a living hope, Jesus Christ. That's what we carry in us. That's what it's about. And there's two chairs that I want to warn you about that aren't up here, okay? If we decide to make peace in this chair, where it becomes about spectator sport, when it's about, man, I'm just glad to be in the stadium. I'm just going to hang out up here in the nosebleed seats. There are two chairs that we can get stuck in. One of them, we call the lazy boy chair around here. Okay, lazy boy chair. Anybody own one of those at home?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. I got one. I'm going to be in it at 2:15, watch this Bronco game. Okay, I'm going to be watching it. It has its purpose. But there's a reason that the seats within our church are recliner lazy boys, right? One, because if you're going to fall asleep during my preaching, you got to be sitting straight up to do it. I'm not going to let you lay down, right? Two is because the message of the church, the metaphor of the church, is that we were built to be a battleship in this world and not a cruise ship. Right? It's too easy to get comfortable with the good that God's done in our lives through this and just make peace and go, yeah, it's better than it was. I'm just going to chill here for a while. Okay? You know when we get stuck in this, and we all get stuck there, guys. This isn't a message of judgment on people that like their recliners or just want to live in comfort for a while, right? But there's all kinds of reasons for this. Some of them are funny. Some of them are really painful. We have all kinds of excuses, right? That we've been hurt, that somebody offended us, that we've been burnt out by the church, that we've been mistreated, that life and circumstances in my life don't allow me to serve and to belong and to connect and do those things. But can I tell you, just the same way God works the miracle when we begin to trust him with our finances, he does in our lives too. That I didn't think I had the time to come pastor this church, and God's made a way for us to do that. That I didn't think I had time to do our small group, but God's made a way to do that. And because of it, I'm more excited about what the Lord's doing in my life than I've been in a very long time. That's not a zero-sum game. Then we put him first, when we worship him first, right? That's what worship is. It's him first. That it changes everything else, and everything else kind of finds its way into working its way out in our life. But when we do everything else first, and then go, okay, now I'm going to go. Now I'm going to worship God. Now I'm going to do the things that he's called me to do. That we somehow never find the way to get to there. Okay, lazy boy, believer, really the easiest way to say is we lost our fire, our zeal. The cares of this world have kind of consumed us or overtaken us. The allure of some of the shiny things that we have in this world get us off track sometimes. And we just got sidelined and we forgot that we weren't made to be spectators. We're made to be participants in the world, participants of God's love for people. So if today we find ourselves distracted because of the cares of the world or the allure of the world, or we just simply got out of the habit of attending regularly and serving, that we can make that change when we remember there's somebody that God's given you that needs to be in that first chair in our lives. Amen? So it's easy, here's the warning, it's easy to become a prodigal in that chair where we just become like sermon connoisseurs of sorts, right? It's like the idea of, oh yeah, that was pretty good, but I heard Joel Osteen this morning on my way here today. It's that kind of thing that we can just get shifted into where we become critics rather than the people of God. On mission for God, being encouraged as a family of God. Totally different perspectives. You guys agree with that? Chair five, it's the other one that's not listed here, but when we make peace with just being there, or just there, is the high chair, right? They put that up too early, didn't they? I heard somebody go, huh? Right? It's the high chair. The high chair is not a chair for the church. Because it's a picture of those who never matured in the faith. That they came hoping that the church was just going to like get something on them, if you know what I'm talking about. There's like some spiritual osmosis that was going to happen because we walked in this room, all of a sudden, bing, all the challenges of my life went away. It was awesome. Now, I characterize that, you know, a little bit funny for a purpose. And it's to make that point that God is faithful. to move us from here to there, back to here. But he does what he does. He's naturally supernatural in our lives, right? But we have to choose to participate in the life that he's given us in order to extract the new life that he has for us. Does that make sense? It's the idea of the person that went to the garage and decided that they were going to be a car because they were in the garage. Doesn't work that way, right? If you're built with the hardware of a person, you're a person. If you're built with the hardware of Jesus, you're his representation in this world. And the reason that we talk about this, and the reason I take the risk of talking about this, is because we are fed somewhat through our worship experiences. Would we agree with that? But as we grow and mature in the faith, we begin to feed ourselves too. We begin to read the Word of God. We begin to pray. We begin to connect. We begin to learn and grow in these other chairs that God's provided for us. So let's not be a people who are known for high chairs or lazy boy chairs, but one of these three chairs that God moves us through as he grows us up in the faith. And here's the reality is, I have to say that because it's not just my opinion. It's something that's been happening in communities of faith forever, right? Remember Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up as we prepare to close our service here. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 gives this word of correction. It says, "You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food." For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know what is right. Doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So all that to simply say, I thank God for every single person that's here today, no matter what seat of the journey that we're along the way on. But can we be a people that believe God's vision to have a church that the gates of hell would not stand against, that we would continue to work towards the sending component of our calling? And it's not just the pastor. It's not just the church. We are the church. We are the ones that have been commissioned with the Great Commission. So three things I'd like you to pray through as we worship in this last song, as we get ready to leave. I'd like you to pray and ask the Lord, number one, how is it that you can make a decision to grow? Wherever you're at along the journey, we're all being called to take another step. Can we agree to that? And there's none of us here that have graduated, right? The promise that we read was that until Jesus Christ comes back, we're not fully developed. So that takes the pressure off us of having it all figured out and having it all known, right? Everyone can make a decision to grow today. Two, where is it that God's called you to connect and to grow and serve, right? Again, if you'd like help with that, it's one of our joys here at North Rock is helping people discover their spiritual gifts and get connected in a way that's meaningful to you in service unto Lord Jesus, right? We have that connect table. It's where the donuts are. We'll see you there after the service, okay? If that's what the Lord's doing in your life. The third thing, and this is really the most important one, it's the exclamation point on this journey, is that we want to be a people who are consistently increasing our passion for relationship with the Holy Spirit. That without that, we lack the fuel, the motivation, the vision for what God wants to do in your life. Can I just speak over you as the pastor of this church? God's got great plans for you. God's got more than you know waiting right around the corner. And it's when we actively grab a hold of those promises and take the next step. I don't know what yours is, but I know there is one. I'm praying that the Lord will reveal that to you. Can we do that today? Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you. We thank you, Lord, that we worship you not just out of our devotion. We do it out of a necessity, knowing that it's your life in us that causes us to live beyond where we're at. And so, Lord, today we believe your word that says that we are a people of abundance, that when we are planted in the house of the Lord, that we will flourish. Lord, I pray that this congregation would flourish under your care, under your vision, under your provision for their lives. Pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that we would continue to do the work that you've called us to do. And that is not just to entertain, not just to gather, not just to connect, but to send people on mission for you. Lord, we thank you for the people that are sitting in the seat and that will sit in the seat because we chose to work together to send them all around the world to do the work that you called them to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are with us, that you are for us. You are not against us, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this opportunity to gather and to share your gospel message. Lord, I thank you for the way that you are at work, even while we rest, to transform us more and more into your likeness until the day of your coming again. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, we do everything we know how to partner with that, to participate in that, to discover the grand life that you have for us, to develop that life, and to be willing to be deployed on mission for your purposes. Lord, as we leave this place, help us remember that we are attractive in you. Lord, that your Holy Spirit draws people to us, that we have favor in our community because of what you're doing in our lives. And Father, for those that are with us today that maybe have been stuck along the way, somewhere we got sidetracked, we got pulled off to the side of the road, Lord, I pray that you would encourage their hearts today. Pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would affirm your love for them, Lord, that you would help us all to know that you are a good, good God with good, good promises over our lives. If you're here today and you'd like to say yes to this journey with Jesus that we've been talking about, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that right now. That's a prayer that we pray every week as we close our services here at North Rock, because we know that when we gather together, we always have seekers, we always have prodigals, we always have a next opportunity for all of us to take that next step in our love and our affirmation of Jesus. So let's pray this prayer, whether it's our first time or our 50th time, like it's our first time. Ready? Let's pray it. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I believe, receive forgiveness for every failure and sin of my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you, water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah. Hey, if you're making that decision today for the very first time or since coming back to church, we would love to talk with you. I've got a gift for you. We just call it a yes packet. It's got a Bible in it, a few tools that will help you along your way with Jesus. Or if you would like prayer for any need in your life, we have a prayer team available. Please don't run out of here. Get connected at the Connect table. Pray with somebody or come talk to me if you made that decision for the very first time, all right? God bless you guys. Have a great week. Thank you for being here at North Rock.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.